And this is The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. I would give you a little more of the theme song today because it's just helping clear the mind a little bit. Maybe that comes to mind when you, if you're a meditator out there, meditating, hear the positive mind theme. Kind of brings you into another place.
Something about that flute, just something about it.
It's very like, I don't know, ethereal. Yeah. And I'm Julian Joiello.
I'm Ben Starr.
And I'm Kev O'Donoghue.
And we're here in the studio in our Midtown studio at the DeMille Center. And we're talking about the mind as usual, but something kind of specific about the mind this time around. So last week we talked about a healthy mind and kind of maintaining that mind and what that is and what your healthy mind sort of consists of. And today we want to talk about the mind that perhaps isn't as healthy and how we kind of get there and what that is made up of, what that looks like for each person. And it's very different, and this is kind of going to be a really interesting conversation for us because it's going to constantly be changing from person to person, what ends up being that unhealthy tendency that you fly towards.
Right. Just like last week we talked about the characteristics and the hallmarks of a healthy mind, we want to talk a little bit about the tendencies and characteristics of a fragile mind today.
And we want to remind people what the three components of a healthy mind are. And one is that you have a range of emotions that you're capable of feeling.
Both good and bad.
Good and bad. Both, and staying with your feelings.
You know, easy and difficult emotions.
Because
we don't,
so.
I'd rather not call them good or bad.
Exactly. Sure.
But, say pleasant or unpleasant. I don't know.
Sure. People know what they are.
What's the second?
And then being connected. You need, anybody can feel like they have a healthy mind if they're sitting in their house for 5 years by themselves. But being connected to other people.
So interpersonally and socially.
Yeah. You generally need to have some kind of network, some kind of contact with other people, the outside world, to give you feedback to let you know where your mind sits amongst other minds.
And what was the last characteristic of a healthy mind?
And the other one was being in reality. So again, this is something people can feel, yeah, I have a healthy mind, but they might think that they're, Robert Redford or Marilyn Monroe or somebody else.
Yeah. You ever met someone like that?
Yeah, I have. I've met more than a few.
Yeah, like I had a friend who was probably, you could say, like clinically obsessed with Brad Pitt in a way that he wanted to be him, look like him, change his name, that kind of stuff. And it wasn't in like a funny way. It was like a very intense obsession.
So he's
Brad Pitt is like 3 credits short of graduating from the University of Missouri. Did anyone know that?
I guess he doesn't need
that. Interesting.
Yeah, he just needs to go back and take like 1 class and he's got his degree.
Well.
So did your friend enroll and then finish 3 credits shy too?
He took the other 3 credits.
But yeah. Let me ask you, is he the kind of guy you would ask for advice?
No. No,
right, exactly. No, there was no hesitation.
Unless I wanted
there.
To talk to what perhaps could be the closest I get to Brad Pitt about my troubles. That's right. Not the person I'm thinking of talking to.
Yeah, so we talked about last week that's a kind of barometer
of
somebody who has a healthy mind.
Right, all 3 of us here in this room are those people in our lives, I know. I know for myself at least, and I know for you, I think, both of you. Yeah. My friends and family will always come to me with sort of, what do you think about this? Your just honest opinion. Can I get it in this situation? What should I do here? Should I stay with this person? Yeah. Should I continue on with this career move? What do you think? Just what's your opinion? And I think it's because we kind of find ourselves in these more stable places. We've been through enough to kind of the right way to go. I mean, I know they come to me for rationale. I try to give them a logical answer that makes sense.
I think it's because, we don't run from hearing other people's problems. When somebody comes to some people with a problem, they want to run. They don't, they feel like they have to fix it.
And there's a bit of a mindfulness that we all have where we sort of are aware of where we are in our lives and we're aware that the body and the mind are some crazy things that we deal with every day and that perhaps you know, there's all kinds of stuff that people are going through, and we've kind of met a lot of that.
Well, we talked last week about how the body and mind are inextricably linked.
Right.
And we had some callers with input around that subject. And I think here again today, it's important to note that, you know, a healthy mind can often be a byproduct of a healthy body, healthy body.
Sure.
Or vice versa. And, you know, keeping one in shape does wonders for the health and well-being of the other.
Yeah.
And I came up with this question, I think Armand did in the show, was when are you at your most sane? When do you feel your sanest in a day? I mean, everybody has a fluctuation in a day.
But I feel the least sane at night, like late night.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps
you know,
in
like
the morning.
They say nothing good happens after midnight, right?
Right. It's just sort of like that time when you've been up for long enough with no sleep and no rest. And I think there's got to be the main link between that crazy that you feel super late at night. If you end up staying until 3 or 4 a.m. and you woke up at 9 a.m., it's like you've been up way, way, way too long.
So,
and that rest that you get, that sleep, is the time that kind of lets you pull out of that and then continue back on to your next cycle the next day and take a break from all that movement in the head.
We got a lot of feedback, people saying they feel the sanest after they've exercised. Half an hour after that.
Yeah.
Not immediately, but a half hour later.
That's a great comment from our audience, because the main reason I think that feels so sane at that moment is because all of a sudden we've moved our body enough that our bodies are you're feeling all this stuff in your body. You're feeling your blood moving and your lungs breathing all this oxygen, and your eyes are seeing everything in front of you, and all of your senses are pumping, and your body is working and doing what it was made to do. And then you feel it, instead of sort of being this mind attached to a dummy body that's sort of sitting in a chair for 8 hours and just kind of going off on what it wants to do. Instead, you've got the mind and the body both kind of working together in tandem in that moment, and you're really feeling the world. And I think that's really valuable to the sanity thing we're talking about, and when it comes to mindfulness, sort of linking the body and the mind together.
Well, revisiting our discussion on brain chemistry a few weeks back, working out releases both endorphins and dopamine.
Right.
So that's a part of why it feels so good.
Absolutely.
After you've done that.
Yeah.
You feel mentally really sharp and really just with it.
So today, we're going to skew right on this topic of a healthy mind, but talking about a fragile mind. And we did get some feedback about people who, when we put out that question, when do you know your mind needs a rest?
Right.
Ben, what did people come up with?
Well, a big one was feeling sort of negative and suspicious.
Right.
Right? Walking around feeling just an overwhelming sense of pessimism. That's a big one. Suspicion.
And people feeling against you.
A sense of unease. That's definitely time to take a rest and maybe look inward and...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then one that I really understood was when a lot of people were feeling insecure. When they feel insecure in a way that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? And I know I feel that way. When I'm in a sort of fragile place mentally, it often comes down to an insecurity that has no basis in fact.
Right.
It's sort of like I'm sitting there, I'm saying, oh, I can't do this. You know, I'm an actor, and I'm not a good actor. Even though I've spent 12 years acting and doing this, and I've booked jobs, and I've done all this stuff, for some reason, I'm just not a good actor, and I've never been a good actor.
Your whole idea of who you are and have been up to now all of a sudden plummets.
You question yourself. Yeah. You question yourself in a strong way, and you don't really even know why, but you just say, okay, well, you know what? I need to trust this feeling, which is I'm not doing well.
But on the flip side of that, Julian, I think an unhealthy way of view of an unhealthy worldview would be, say, as an actor, if you were having trouble getting work, just saying things like, well, it must be my agent's fault, it must be my manager's fault,
right.
It must be... You know, these people don't recognize a good thing when
you know
they
what?
See it.
And I know these actors that do the same thing. They sort of say, oh, well, you know, I haven't been in an audition in 12 months because my agent doesn't do this. They're a bad agent. I've been through 4 agents and they're all really bad, or this manager's never worked for me, or
right. It's
these
everyone,
acting
it's
classes
everyone
aren't
else,
doing
right?
The right
it's the
thing.
Whole world.
Right. And then they end up kind of sitting there waiting and not doing anything and not really doing the gung-ho, let me go get get these jobs for myself. Let me do what my agent, or let me remind my agent that I need to work, or that remind them who I am. And that is very much the flip side. Instead of, you know, blaming ourselves, we're blaming all these outside sources.
I mean, how many people do you know like that, where something goes wrong and it's everyone else's fault? It's everything else's fault. It's very easy to do. And I think it's almost a default setting for how we operate mentally.
But I mean, think people know, even the layperson knows, that when you're confronted with a person like this, you know something's wrong with them, you know, that they're just not doing well. So, you know, you feel like, oh, you poor person, you know, you're targeting everything out there to try and find some reason why things are bad.
I mean, when someone tells me every girlfriend I've ever had has had this certain negative quality, or every man I've ever dated was dishonest.
Right.
And when I hear someone say things like that, I can't help but think, well, you know, the only constant in that situation is you. Right? And at a certain time, there has to be this realization that there's maybe a mental or emotional pattern that a person is engaging in.
Absolutely.
That is reproducing the same results over and over and over again.
And it's obvious to everybody but that person.
Right.
Yeah, and these pointers, these patterns are a great pointer to sort of identifying the crazy, or the part of you that's sort of out of whack. Sort of seeing, you know, what is consistent here, and perhaps what am I doing constantly because it's comfortable. And actually, we're going to play this a little earlier, but I'm loving this conversation we're having. But we wanted to bring in a little bit of Armand to talk about this topic that we're having about the fragile mind, and sort of where that lies, and where the blame goes.
Being in your mind and being out of your mind. If you're not in your mind, you're out of your mind. Is that true or not true? Here's a question for you. How can we delineate it? And here's how I would separate it for you. I would say that the people I know who have the, and I use the word sane, but I don't mean sane, but I mean securest minds, they have one thing in common. And the people who have the most fragile mind have another thing in common. The people with the fragile mind all have one thing in common, which is that they blame the outside. They say, the reason I feel the way I feel is because of somebody else. It is because of my job, it is because of my boss, it is because of the stress, it is because of my children, it's because of this and that, and my husband and my wife and my children and my house, and you know, you blame. Now this doesn't mean, I don't mean this in a way to say you shouldn't blame, because that's what your mind does. You see, the human mind wants to blame something. It's always looking for an enemy. When you feel under stress, the first thing the human mind wants to do is find, where's the cause of my stress? It doesn't think to look inside, so every animal, if it would have become nervous, would look for where's the enemy. Well, when we start looking on the outside and we say, she did this to me, or he did this to me, or they did this to me, or the neighbor downstairs, that's when we get lost in that kind of automatic mechanism of the mind, which is to find an enemy and point at it for the cause of our discomfort. Of course there are some people who cause discomfort. Of course there are. But now the difference between the most stable people I know and the instable people, or the people not so stable, is the ones who don't believe that it's the outside, but believe it's inside them, tend to be the most stable. Now, there's a caveat coming with this. There's an exception here. So, rule number one, if you think that it's their fault, then your mind is more fragile than if you don't think it's their fault. Rule number one. Rule number two, just because it's not their fault, it doesn't make it your fault. See, now this is very important. Because rule number two, a lot of people say, oh, it's not their fault, it's my fault. Well, no, that's wrong. Because if you say my fault, then you're blaming yourself. Then you're beating yourself up. Then you're putting yourself down. Then you're depressed. Then you're doing just the very same thing. You're blaming something. You're blaming yourself. So second state of fragility is to blame yourself. By blame, I mean be depressed about knocking yourself down for being as fragile as you are. So first fragile state of mind is blaming everybody. Second fragile state of mind is blaming yourself. Third state of mind is saying to yourself, well, okay, let's leave the blame out of it. Let's just say that I create my world and my universe. And I believe that. Now, if you could take that and say, most of what happens to me is my creation, barring, with exception, exception being, you know, pains and migraines and illnesses and everything else that people go through. I mean, it's just Albert Einstein, a wise guy, said, and he wasn't a wise guy, but he was a wise man, whose birthday just passed. Albert Einstein had a description of insanity. He said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's Albert Einstein. See, part of being not in your most solid mind is repeating patterns of dysfunction that you know don't work. The same kind of love, the same kind of relationship, the same kind of anger, the same kind of diet, the same approach to life, the same thing over and over again. You know it doesn't work, but the mind, it wants you to repeat because it's comfortable with repetition. So it's not your fault that you repeat. That's why people go to therapists. You know, when do you go to a physical therapist? If your arm isn't working properly and you've had a surgery on your arm and you want to develop your arm, you go to a physical therapist because you want to change the use of your arm. When do you go to a psychotherapist? When you want to change the use of your mind. When your mind is working the same way over and over again, and you go to a therapist and you say, help my mind work differently. Help me out.
And that was Armand talking about the kind of three different states of the fragile mind. And again, what he was just mentioning was sort of this, those people who blame themselves, who blame the outside, and then finally the people who sort of say that they create the world.
Sure. And you know, what came to mind for me listening to that was, we often hear people say things like, in a job interview, never speak poorly of your former employers.
Right.
And that's absolutely true. And it doesn't even matter if your former boss ran the place like a sweatshop. It's still inadvisable to speak poorly of them, because what it does is it creates the impression that you're a blamer. It creates the impression that you're someone who puts the responsibility externally.
Right, and doesn't take that responsibility for themselves.
Right, and so that's why people say in a job interview, never speak poorly of your former employers.
Right,
and that's what I heard part of that in that.
And everybody knows this. I mean, people do know that when they're blaming, they're not in their right head. Even the people that are convinced that it's not me, it's, oh, you know, it's my mother, it's my, you know, my job, my wife, my kids, my everything. Even as they're protesting and saying all this stuff, they know on some level this isn't exactly the truth.
Sure.
So when you're confronted with blamers, you know, there's a part of them that knows. Okay, I'm not in my right head totally.
Right. Are you one of those people that sort of walks outside and, you know, you have a bad day and it's because of everybody else?
Yeah.
Because
or just someone who can't accept criticism. I think that fits into it as well.
Right. And also there's the flip side. I mean, are you the person who takes the criticism and says, "Oh my God, I can't do anything."
Do you take the weight of the world on?
Can't do anything right.
Well, there's a good barometer.
To me, that's
also
the difference,
right?
Between the one and the two in the Enneagram.
What's that?
Well, the one is somewhat of a blamer, I think. The one is the perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
And the two is the compulsive helper.
Yeah, the Enneagram being a, for those who don't know, a personality typing style, I guess.
Yeah.
There's nine different types, and the one and two, sorry, go back about that again.
So the one is like a perfectionist type.
Right, so you've got like the people that want to change the world and make it better.
Right.
And make it perfect.
Very image conscious, does right. not want to be held responsible for bad
things.
Well,
the image conscious one is more of the three who's trying to achieve and kind of achieve a lot of that social status too that comes along with being successful. But the one is that moralist kind of person.
Yes.
Who wants to sort of like fix all the problems of the world.
But I think that person is very, very tough for them to take criticism,
absolutely,
to handle it.
Right.
You're exactly right, Ben.
Whereas
exactly
the two is the person, the compulsive helper, and I think many of us know someone like this who helps everyone else out ahead of themselves, who the almost compulsive altruist,
yeah,
if you want to think of it that way.
Right.
And that person, I think, is willing to eat up all the criticism, eat up all the blame.
Right, they're almost excited to hear criticism because then it's like, oh, I can be better for everybody else. You know, I can work on this on myself.
And the sad part of this is they both feel like, okay, it's me. I have to do something. I can do something else. It comes from a certain lack. It's kind of a sad thing.
So what would you advise to be more balanced in thinking about this sort of stuff?
Well, I love what Armand says. Take the blame off the table. You know, and this gets back to what we said about the Layman series, the last fund drive, where, you know, if you go into therapy, you want to, you know, stop judging yourself. If you start criticizing yourself right away, you're never going to get to your real thoughts. So if you're blaming yourself all the time, let's take blame off, or blaming somebody else. Hold it. Let's interrupt this for today.
Because does it really matter, right, at the end of the day? I mean, maybe
it matters if you're tortured by blaming.
Maybe it does. I mean, let's say your house burns down. Someone's at fault, maybe. It could be a pure accident, but let's say someone is at fault. Well, does it really matter? Because you still don't have a house. So now the impetus is on figuring out what to do next versus... Right.
Right, and then, I mean, in that situation, I know this is that's an extreme situation, but sort of finding the place where you're not blaming yourself for whatever, starting this fire. You're not blaming anybody else for it, but just sort of taking a moment to say, okay, I'm alive. I'm here. I've got all my senses. I can walk around. I can feel this world, which is a very, very beautiful place in all of its intricacies and imperfections and natural feelings and sort of kind of move forward instead of thinking about the past and the future and all this stuff, just sort of being in that present moment, which is, I know, something we say a lot, but it kind of solves this problem in some ways, I think, because it allows you to stop thinking about what just happened or what's going to happen later and try go off crazy on this sort of jumping off point, this rocket of thoughts and theories.
But some people need help. You know, some people need to stop. Let's stop.
Well, I mean,
there's
points where you can't stop doing that, and it becomes so difficult that all you can think about is, well, who do I blame? Who do I blame? Who do I blame?
Yeah.
Is it me? Is it them? Is it my family? Is it these other people? And sometimes you need to get a little grounded from somebody else if you have a friend that you know that can help you with that, or a therapist.
Right.
And that kind of thing becomes very important at that point.
And to do it yourself is to just say, let me take the blame off the table for now and see what happened and what can change.
Yeah.
So I like that about the Enneagram, though, the one and the two. I never thought of that. And it's true. I think when the one gets stressed, and for those of you who do know the Enneagram, we all have stress levels that point us in dangerous directions. And when the one is under stress, he verbally comes out and does start to blame. Normally, you know, ones are very quiet. They want to do their fixing of the world on their own. They're on their mission. They've got the nose to the grindstone. They're not noticeably complaining out there, but when they are, that's a danger, you know, that's a red flag, we call it.
It's been a long time since we did any programming around the Enneagram, so for newer listeners or people unaware, unfamiliar with it, go ahead, you can Google it and check out the Enneagram Institute, Enneagram.
Yeah.
And there are free tests online, and it's a basic personality test.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get that number down, I'm a 7. I'm the enthusiast. I'm the kind of guy who wants to learn about everything, wants to try everything, wants to be around people and constantly be busy, kind of spontaneous. Well, what type are you?
I'm getting? A 6.
You're
the
6.
Guy who's anxious, worried, planning about the future, trying to master the present and get ready for tomorrow.
Right. So it's a little bit
trying to get security.
Right. Right in your head and kind of wanting to find that path that works for you. Kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
And what about you, Ben?
I'm also a 7.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of got that from you ever since we've been working together. It's always been the we're bouncing ideas off each other constantly, and all of a sudden we're brainstorming up an incredible hurricane of ideas.
Yeah, and you know, it becomes very extemporaneous, and before you know it, we're talking about, you know, these concepts like, what if you had a clone? right? I mean, this is a, like a flash discussion that we had three minutes before going on the air.
Discussion so about you, something very, very yeah, fantastic.
So that's the tendency is to, you know, to be very animated and change subjects a lot. But getting back to our subject of the day.
The fragile mind.
Yeah.
Right. How's your mind fragile? Or when is it fragile?
When I'm not sleeping enough.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's a definite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that probably works across the board for most people.
If I'm not getting a minimum of 6 hours of sleep a night consistently, my mind starts getting real fragile, starts turning, you know, like thinking about worst case scenarios, thinking in a negative space. Mm. When I do get enough sleep, I feel a lot calmer. I feel much more ready to deal with the world.
When you're under stress and your mind is fragile, are you a blamer or are you a self-blamer or are you, I did this, it's my fault and... I'm more.
Yeah,
I, created
no, I
my
think
own
I'm
reality.
More of. A, I think I'm more of a self blamer when my mind isn't in that right space.
We're actually going to be asking those questions of you just after our break.
Yeah. Do you blame? Do you blame yourself or do you blame the world? And there's nothing wrong with either one because
you
we tend to do one or the other when we're in that negative.
Right. I mean, what
headspace.
Do you kind of find yourself doing the most when you're in that sort of unstable place mentally? You're feeling kind of insecure, you're feeling anxious, or you're feeling depressed. Are you blaming yourself for that? Are you blaming the world, or do you find yourself somewhere somewhere else entirely?
And what would happen if you just took that blame right off the table?
Right.
Yeah. We're going to come back with some solutions that are some techniques you can use and do when you are caught in this cycle of blaming either yourself or the
world.
Yeah,
and we would love to hear from you at 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. That beautiful, beautiful number.
So symmetrical.
Armand really got we're holding on to that with our dear life, getting that number because it's just such a great number.
It's not the taxi company. It is
I know it's not a taxi company. It's not a fake number from from a movie. 212-757-5555. We'd love to hear about sort of what you're dealing with when it comes to when your mind is a little bit more fragile than usual.
Right.
And we're going to actually be playing a little bit of music at our break at 1:30. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI New York. I'm Julian Joyello.
And I'm Ben Starr.
And I'm Kev O'Neill.
I kind of like this little cycle that we do. We give our names. And
do we have another minute? Or
we do have one more minute. I just want to give...
He talked about patterns, you know, when Einstein...
Right.
We didn't get to talk about Einstein. But, you know, so also a question out there is, are you forcing something in your life that is not working and it's a repeat of a pattern?
Right.
That you've been having for a long time.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that for a while.
He mentioned, you know, you get in the same romantic situation.
Mental or emotional patterns.
Right, and like Ben was saying before, is there something that consistently is going wrong in your life? I mean, there's only so many times things happen as a coincidence. When it's happened 10 times, I mean, you've got to think, wait a second.
Well, I mean, I know someone, for example, who they own a house, and they rent out some of the rooms in their house, and they always seem to have this problem with finding tenants who are, you know, not inconsistent with paying the rent on time.
They're not savory.
No.
And after you know, however many tenants, 4, 5, 6 tenants like this, I have to imagine that this person is finding a certain kind of
a
tenant.
Great example.
You know?
Yeah. Great example.
Right. Maybe they trust too easily or maybe they just look in the wrong places. There's something happening there.
Or they like pain.
Or they like me. They're like, oh, this looks like dangerous fun. Right. You know what I mean? But we're actually at 1:30 right now. We're going to play a little bit of music for you and take those calls right after the break. 212-757-5555. Stay tuned.
I'm to the place where I don't know my name. It's a world for the lonely, gone insane. I brought along the little pieces of me he left behind. Got no place to go but crazy. Out of my I've got no place to go but crazy. watched him leave with her clear out of sight. And from that day on, my mind just don't work right. What little sin's left in me, I'll leave here in this wine. Got no place to go but crazy.
Loretta Lynn, Crazy Out of My Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM. You're listening to The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr, joined here in the studio by Julian Gioiello and Kevin O'Donohue. Remember, you can always help us shorten our upcoming fun drive by becoming a BAI buddy. And by doing that, you give a recurring small contribution to WBAI each month. And it helps us cut down on the length of the fun drives, which everyone would like to do, both listeners and producers included. There's nothing we'd like more than to have shorter fun drives. So again, BAI Buddy, you can go to give2wbai.org and set that up. And of course, it's tax deductible, and it helps us greatly with the state of the station.
Absolutely. Well said, Ben. And we're back here for the next 25 minutes talking about our subject today, the fragile mind. We got lots of callers coming in. If you're waiting on the line, we'll try to get to you right after we get to our good friend here, James. We've got on the line. James, you there?
Yes.
Hey, so you mentioned that you were interested in what we're talking about. How are you feeling about all this? Are you feeling like you end up blaming yourself? Are you feeling like you blame the world? Or are you somewhere else?
No, I never blame the world.
Okay.
No, I was accepting myself. You know, if I do something wrong, I have to, you know, I'll say, no, I'm wrong about it. Because I don't think blaming other people is going to get you anywhere.
Right.
And my mother, she's a sweetheart. She's unbelievable. She blames all of us for everything. Stuff. You know, she drops a plane on the floor. Oh, see, look what you made me do.
That was my next question, James. I was going to ask you, do you have a blamer in your life? And you definitely answered that.
Excuse me? Yeah.
My next question for you was,
What was that? I'm sorry.
Well, when you said that you never blame, my instinct was, I was wondering, well, maybe there's a blamer in your life that, you know, that you want to avoid being like, and you answered that pretty much immediately, that your mother seems to be a blamer.
And I love it to death, yeah, because she, like, blames. Mom, why do you have to do that? I don't think you have to say, oh, see, look what you made me do. My brother's in the room. Oh, she does something. See? It's you. And she'll never say it's her.
Hey, James. It's a little bit difficult to hear what you're saying, but I think we're on speaker, or it's getting a little caught up in the signals in the atmosphere.
I think I'm on the boost phone.
No, but thank you for sharing what you've been saying with us. I really appreciate that. We do end up seeing that.
I just say one more thing.
Yeah, 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 go for it.
One more thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Just this past weekend, a friend of mine, another close friend, but a friend of mine, we were, like, talking among ourselves, like, two people.
Sure.
And he's saying things like joking with me. I'm just taking it. And then when I joked with him, he got mad, he cursed. And then my mother was there. You know, it was like a little party. And, and he gets up, he's, oh, see, Steve doesn't know me. So I'm saying to myself, you can crack on me, but if I say something to you, like, he blows up.
Yeah.
Did you avoid someone like that?
You know, it's interesting that you mention that, because we've discussed a lot about that, James, about how a lot of men relate to each other by cracking jokes. And oftentimes, you know, it's that good-natured ribbing, right? Where we sit around with our buddies and we kind of make fun of each other in a sort of a loving way. But there always is that guy who can dish it but can't take it, right? And I have friends like that too. And once you've sort of identified that person, then I don't know. I think it's best to maybe avoid that sort of relating back and forth because obviously they can't handle it.
Right, and also some kind of relationship has been built in your history together where he never gets that from you, and you always kind of get that from him. And if that pattern changes, all of a sudden it gets really weird, and you're acting out of character, and all of a sudden it's like, James, what's wrong with you today? Are you in a bad mood? You never do this. And it kind of comes off in this way that seems uncharacteristic, I think, a lot of the ways. And so he might also be there saying, you know, you're just being weird right now. Why are you acting so strange? And meanwhile, it's been something you've been thinking about. Anyways, it's a totally exciting topic, but we have to get to the next bunch of our callers. But thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us.
Yeah, go easy on your buddy, James.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And he could have said the same thing he says to his mother. Oh, why do you have to do that?
Right.
Oh, why? You know, just why? Mom, why do you have to blame? Why do you have to blame everybody? And so your buddy, why do you have to criticize? Why do you have to react so badly to a criticism?
Right. It's interesting if he spends a day maybe not blaming anybody or not making fun of anybody else and seeing what happens. Yeah. Probably
you're right.
Total,
it's a challenge,
total
though, because
phase shift
things
there.
Get weird.
And the thing is also, I think at a certain point, it is best to just kind of accept people for the way they are. And, you know, if he spent his whole life dealing with this blaming nature of mom, it may be that that's just how mom is going to be, and that she's not going to
at least give her a hug, though.
Yeah, of course. But what I mean is that it may be that mom will never get to a point where she can function without that.
Sure.
And so it may be best to just accept that that's a part of how she is, and that it's actually not a personal statement on you.
Mm. 212-757-5555. I see a couple of our lines lighting up that we can't answer because they fly over to other lines. So if you're on the line right now waiting to call in with us, there we go. Flip over to 212-757-5555 so we can get you on here.
That's right.
But I've got to say, Ben, you know, you got to challenge that. I hear Armand in my ear. He's like, no, Ben, you got to challenge it. You know, these people that are blaming everybody, they know on some level that they're not right. They just need somebody to say to them, hey, come on, relax.
Sure. Yeah. I guess what I mean by that is, you know, I don't know how old James is, and I don't know how old his mother is, but there comes a point in life where people become extremely resistant to any kind of change, introducing any kind of suggestion that they change. And certainly with older people, I've noticed that sometimes it's best to just come with a sense of acceptance that, you know, hey, this person, maybe they just are the way they are, and I have to accept that, you know.
I'm just going to throw in my own thing about, okay, those people need a hug then. You don't have to change.
Of course. Everyone needs a hug.
Yeah.
But I think there are times where, you know, there is an opening to have a conversation about, you know, how someone can change.
Sure.
But at a certain point, people aren't willing to even entertain that, and it may cause more harm and more damage to a relationship to even breach the subject than it is to just give that person a hug and accept them for the way they are and not take it personally and not take it and understand that that's just a feature this person has, and it doesn't mean anything about me. It's not a statement on me.
Those opinions and judgments that you make on others, they sort of don't benefit you in the way that you might hope. And a lot of the time when you can kind of let go of that, it makes you feel much more at peace and much more just kind of, you say, okay, well, what's around me right now? What's my life like? What's this? Oh, wow. It's
sure.
This air is beautiful.
I mean, for example, I know a guy whose father is a pretty old guy. He was, you know, born in the 20s, I think. Mm. And, you know, he has issues with his father around sensitivity and, just general sense of respect. And he kind of got to the point where he realized, you know, I'm not going to challenge him because at this point, this is kind of his personality. And that right at 90 something years old, I have to just kind of accept that.
Right.
And I still doesn't change the fact that I love him.
Right.
But at it's really not going to there's not going to be much give and take here. I have to kind of accept that, move on with it, and not take it in a personal way. And that's kind of what I mean when it comes to older people.
Yeah. It's not, you know, you can't convince a 90-year-old to stop smoking cigarettes.
Well,
right. It's kind of a little late.
Well, you could, but they would end up having to make that decision on their own, for sure. We've actually got Bob on the line. Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Bob. Thank you for waiting.
It's fine. No, I really like your show, and I certainly very much appreciate Armand for all the years. I've been a long-time listener, and I've actually been on the air before, but I'm using a different name now because this is a very sore, delicate subject we're talking about here today.
Yeah. Yes.
I have bipolar disorder, and it could be well possible that I have OCD-related issues. And in my opinion, anyway, I've led a troubled life, even though I've had a lot of, you know, remarkable independence for somebody with my issues.
Sound very strong.
I have a neighbor who coincidentally is also an advocate for people with bipolar disorder and major depression.
Terrific.
And he's actually helped me a great deal, let's say, over the last 2.5 years.
Right.
And what we've been able to figure out, as whether I blame or whatever, I will, you know, with the last caller talk about how his mother was a blamer, and my mother was very much like this as well. She, nothing was ever her fault, you know. You know, there was, you know, if there was a problem, it was usually either me or somebody else in the family or, you know, some abstraction. She was so, extrospective. I mean, she was not introverted or introverted.
She externalized everything.
She had
introspective
qualities.
So when you're suffering with the bipolar stuff and you come up against this about your mother, what? How do you get out of it? Does your friend help you with this? I mean, surely.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I had been in psychotherapy for over 20 years.
Okay.
And you know, and I realized, you know, not only do I have this serious illness, I also have very serious mommy issues, and I always have, and I can't imagine having, and I'm also in my 60s by now.
Okay.
You know, I try to deal with that as best I can.
Okay.
She died about 5 years ago, but, it, you know, and I'm one of these people who believes that, you know, your relationship with someone like that doesn't end at their death.
Right.
You know,
you still hear her criticizing.
Yeah. It goes all the way back to, you know, like when I was 7, and, you know, locked in our, you know, Ford Falcon with the windows rolled up in the wintertime, and she's puffing away on her cigarettes, and I'm gasping for breath.
Right.
And I have no power over that. I can't, hey, Mom, could you put out the cigarette? I could never do that, ever.
Actually,
even as an adult, I could never do that.
Bob.
She was just too commanding.
Bob, we actually did a program on forgiveness a while ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
About September. It was last September.
It was with Armand. We had one about forgiveness, and I want to see if I believe it's on our archive on thepositivemind.com, and we sort of talked about forgiveness and how this can be something that independently happens without the other person that you need to forgive.
Right.
Yeah, no, I can understand, and also I think I've heard Armand's show on grudges, like what grudges do to people.
Right.
You know, grudges hurt the people who have the grudge, not the person who the grudge is against.
Absolutely.
And I understand that dynamic as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I've come to see about myself is not that I blame or other people blame me, but I do want to get a sense of what causes things. And what my friend was able to get me to see was that the real culprit is mood instability.
Right.
If I want to blame anything, it's mood instability,
which isn't your fault or your mother's.
Sometimes I have control over, and sometimes I don't.
I mean, physically, there's chemicals changing in your body that are not, you know, they're not being as stable as they could be. And so, a lot of the times, when you try to rationalize what's happening in your body, there's that disconnect, like we were talking about last week, that happens. You know, when your mind isn't being as healthy, is when your mind doesn't understand what's happening in your body. And then kind of has this disconnect and leads you to assuming, it's my fault or something.
I had a friend stop by yesterday to visit for about an hour, and she said something very interesting to me that I never considered. And she's a very dear friend of mine for over 30 years, and she said to me, you know, your situation here is you are actually talking to me. You are intellectually superior to the situation you're in. And I never really thought of that in that way. And she may be right. I don't know.
Well, like,
I work
so
with
you
a
think
committee
of that
of people
in a sense.
Called a PAC team.
Okay.
And they have tried very hard to get me to accept therapeutic modalities that I've resisted.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like it. You know, they'd
yeah.
rather that I cave and submit to these. Therapeutic modalities that I really don't want to be involved in.
But the basic one that you have is you're talking to people. You're talking to your friend, and you're talking to this woman,
yeah,
and you
yeah,
found a
yeah.
resource in talking to people.
Yeah, no, I talk to people.
So
and
it doesn't
I
matter what the modality
quite
is.
I have a network of friends. They're yeah. not always available to me, and they live in different parts of the country.
Bob, what it sounds to me, we want to try to get to one or two more callers, but what it sounds
yeah,
to me... for coming,
and I could go on forever about
absolutely.
This kind of stuff, and I have throughout my life.
You're,
I just wanted to bring that out. That
no, thank you for sharing that.
Sometimes, in my case, with an illness like that, like bipolar disorder, which does have a cause... It's not like I'm blaming myself or I'm blaming
sure.
the outside. It's like the illness itself comes on during stress.
I mean, yeah, you've
and
got
there's
this,
no one to blame.
You've got
right.
cortisol levels flying off the charts, and it's just kind of like messing with your mind. And it's really interesting hearing what your friend said to you, that you're sort of your intellect is above this, but your body is still sort of in this other place, and that's why it gets so difficult, because you are a very intelligent man, and we can hear that, and your mind moves so fast that sometimes with that adrenaline boost from your body or from some other source from these chemicals
becomes the mania.
It becomes this mania
yeah.
that's just not. It's just not stabilizing. And anyways, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah,
I know that's very
you.
Difficult.
Thank you so much, Julian,
and
everybody there, and,
yeah.
and Mr. O'Donohue and Ben Starr. I appreciate all the work you
thank
do on
you,
your program.
Thank
and
you.
It's a relief that you're still on the air.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for tuning in. We're going to try to get one or two
be
more
well.
Callers.
I
on
understand.
Here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Very good talking to you. Take care. Have
take
a good
care.
Day.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
212-757-5555.
Oh, you want to say the number?
212-757-5555
is our number.
It makes me feel good to say it.
It's such a great number.
He does sound strong, that gentleman.
He's,
you know,
I mean,
he's
it's very obvious.
Traveled a journey.
Intellectually, very, very intelligent and stimulated. So it's like you've got this. I mean, a lot of we talked about bipolar disorder briefly before this year. But anyways, we got other callers coming on here. Later.
And with bipolar disorder, you can be intelligent as can be, but you know, it's a mood disorder. You can't outwit it. You know, if it's
yeah.
there, you can be compassionate with yourself when you are in it and feeling it, but you can't outwit it.
It's on a whole different plane than depression, right? And,
yes.
And I've heard a lot of times that antidepressants can actually exacerbate the bipolar disorder, which is why it's medicated differently
yeah,
than depression.
It's very subtle
yeah.
illness.
Right, and it sort of ends up, there's so many types, and they end up
yeah.
being so different for each person that it's not as simple as taking... But
yeah, nobody's mania is the same as anybody
right.
else's.
And there's something exciting to be said about, I know this is you know, a difficult thing for a lot of people to accept, but it's also, there's something beautiful about accepting this sort of power that comes along with something like bipolar disorder or ADHD or these kind of more manic chemical imbalances.
People, please don't take away my mania. Take away my depression,
right.
but don't
I mean,
take away that part.
We did a whole show about ADHD as a superpower,
right.
didn't we?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to you know, say ADHD and bipolar are the same, but there's these chemical imbalances that are happening, and embracing them is a possible way to deal with them if the medication just is not the way to go, because a lot of the time the medication can sort of flatten you out and make you feel, hey, I'm this intellectual guy, I'm this intelligent guy who's got this speedy mind, and then all of a sudden I take this medication and yeah, I don't have the mania
like a pancake,
I don't have it more, but now I become, you know, I'm just not as smart, I'm just kind of everybody else.
I'm like a pancake. I just got like a rolling pin, just kind of flattened me out.
Sure, pancake. But we want to get one more call. We just lost somebody. Oh, there we go, coming through.
What about you, Kev? What have you
seen? I would
seen
love
as far
to
as...
have mania once in a while. I mean, I get, you know, I know when I get revved up and get productive, and this is why people like their mania. It's because it's the most productive time of their
it's
cycle.
That's the upswing of bipolar.
Yeah. So, you know, you're very focused on tasks. You're almost, you know, out of your mind, since this is a show about being out of your mind and being fragile. You're almost out of your mind sometimes with a mania, and it can be productive. It can be exhilarating.
Let's try to hear from a couple more callers if we can. We have Wendy calling. How you doing, Wendy?
and you?
We're good. We're good. Do you have us on speakerphone?
No, not now. I took you off. Okay. I had to change my
ear. Oh, beautiful. We can hear your voice very clearly now. Beautiful.
Okay, good. Good. I think I'm the person who blames myself. And I can be obsessive about it. Like, I just keep on going over the same scenario over and over and over.
Right.
Like, what could I have done wrong?
Right,
what
and there's more details of oh, no, this was the thing that happened, and this is what made it bad, and
yeah,
this is why
yeah.
I'm doing
How
it.
Can
it's
I fix
me.
It? How come this person felt that way? And on it goes, you know?
Yeah.
And I beat myself up a lot.
You know,
I think
there's something really simple to be said about just when you get that kind of thought that's this kind of negative thing, and then maybe it's not even based in like factual evidence. So a lot of the time, let's say you have a thought like this, like, you know, I went out, I met somebody at this party last night, but they definitely didn't like me because, you know, because I know that I'm not that likable. And then you kind of go home, but you don't really have any evidence of them not liking you. You don't really have any evidence of you not being likable, but for some reason you just feel that way.
It may be like a certain kind of look
right.
that I got from the person
sure.
that made me think, well, they don't like me, or
right.
you know, or a look that I thought about when I was a kid, I got that same look, and they
right.
didn't like me, you know, or
of
something
course.
Like that. But it don't have nothing to do with nothing.
Of course, but when you get that kind of thought, we don't have this control over this other person that a lot of us feel like we do. And I think letting that thought just sort of say, well, I don't know if I'll ever be able to answer this question because this is just something that I'm never going to do that, have that experience again. I'm never going to be able to see this guy's face again and have this situation again and understand exactly what happened. Maybe I can just let this go and then, you know, see how it moves forward. And I know it's a kind of to let go of something like that when it's such a, you know, such a theory that's been building in your head, it's a little difficult. But
yeah, especially if it's somebody I really cared about.
Of course.
Or, you know, and I'm just, yeah, and that's when it's more emotional. The more emotional it is, the more I beat myself up about if it goes wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, I hear in your voice, Wendy, that you sound like a warm person to me. And I would just say, you know, give yourself a break once in a while. Let yourself off the hook. It can't possibly always be your fault. I don't believe that. You sound like too kind and warm of a person.
Right,
we were talking
about the twos in the Enneagram. Do you help a lot of people?
Mean. I have my little mean things going on too. I'm not just like perfect.
I know, but you're the only one that thinks they're mean. Everybody else is like, oh, she's so nice all the time.
But I can be mean though. I know I can be mean. That, I think that about myself.
Good.
I know I can be mean, and I can say the meanest things just to hurt that person.
Yeah.
I know I can be really mean.
Yeah, we used to say that when Armand was around. We'd say, I can be mean. Do you remember that? Did you hear that?
No. Is Armand, did he pass away or something? You sound like he passed away.
Yeah, he unfortunately passed away last June.
Yeah, it's almost going to be about a year now.
But,
oh, my goodness, I didn't know. I said, they're talking like Armand isn't here anymore, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, we try to bring him back as much as possible because he's got so much. I mean, we've got 35 years of archives of such he's hit every subject. I mean, like sharing it with, of course, the listeners that have been around for Armand over this all this time. But actually, it's 1:55.
Okay.
We gotta end the show.
I just would say to Wendy, Armand would counter your blame, your self-blame with asking, who's disappointed you, Wendy, in life?
My mom and my dad.
yeah. So,
yeah,
so when you find
yourself,
when you find yourself blaming yourself for everything, bring a little mom and dad into the picture.
Yeah, that's a whole other can
but
of worms.
We're
right?
going to revisit this tomorrow. So,
yeah, thank you so much for calling in, Wendy.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Sure,
thank you,
Wendy. Be well.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, take care.
And thanks to everyone who called in today,
and
everyone
to
who tuned
and
in
Bob.
And listened. James, Bob, Wendy. And all of you out there listening on 99.5 FM and on the web at stream.wbai.org and on the podcast, which you can get for free on iTunes, get all new episodes automatically downloaded onto your computer just with the click of a button.
Yep, and you can always check out our newest episodes in high-quality audio on thepositivemind.com. And look up all of the other stuff that we've been talking about. If you want to see another program about any other subject, Armand's probably got it on there. ThePositiveMind.com. I'm Julian Joiello.
I'm Ben Starr.
And Kev O'Donoghue.
Send us an email. It's positivemind@wbai.org.
Yeah, and take care. And here's a little bit of music for y'all.